Hi, everyone. Welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Tiago.
Hey, everyone.
And today, our special guest is Adrian Hall. Adrian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Adrian Hall. I'm the Principal Program Manager on Visual Studio Mobile Center. I'm also responsible for Azure Mobile Apps and Azure Mobile Services and pretty much Azure and mobile together.
Great. And I assume you're here to talk to us something about Azure and mobile.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect.
I'm going to give you some hints and tips on developing Azure Mobile Apps backends so that they can be debugged in the cloud and so that they can be run locally, and we'll deal with authentication.
Okay.
And how about a book?
Oh, perfect. Everybody yes. likes books.
So, yeah. So,
does everybody that's watching get the book for free?
Everyone that's watching gets the book for free.
Wow, that's amazing. I hope you printed a lot of copies.
None whatsoever.
Okay. Figure it out.
Yeah. Let's start with the book, actually.
Okay.
The book is how to develop Azure mobile apps with C Sharp and Xamarin and Azure all together.
Okay.
And it covers the broad range. So it gets you started, gets you the tool set up, goes through all the authentication options, goes through all the data synchronization, offline sync capabilities, mm-hmm. goes into push notifications, and then drags in all the other mobile capabilities that Azure has to offer. Things yep. like media services, functions, custom APIs, search, that sort of thing.
I've looked at the book a number of times, and what I really like about it is it's not just like the tutorials we'll find on docs.microsoft.com where it's here's the kind of the task you want to accomplish, here's how to do it. It's yep. a lot of the ins and outs and kind of gotchas you might want to watch out for or be at least aware of, like how things are working and things like that that yep. the book contains that you don't necessarily see elsewhere.
Absolutely. So Ooh. if you want to get to it, it's open source. Now, open source is great because it means that I'm not the only one writing it, in yep. actual fact. You have authored a section.
Just a small bit.
We've got about 20 other collaborators at the moment, so there's lots of things to do for a new person coming into open source that wants to contribute a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things like just as simple as copy editing and yep. cleaning up the images and stuff like that if you just don't know any coding at all. But, you know, people like yourself, like me, big contributors, sharing your knowledge is mm-hmm. a great way to get started. So, aka.ms/ZumoBook.
Okay. We'll put the link for that down below as well.
Yep, absolutely. And that gets you in. And as I said, it's all online. We might be publishing it as a real book at some point, but cool. right now it's all available and it's in production right now.
Great. So your free book is available online right now.
So
one thing I liked when I was looking at the book and using it for some work with a customer is that you can also have a version of it offline. So
Absolutely.
You can go to GitHub, get the source code, and run a couple of things in there and have it locally. So say if you're on a flight and you want to keep reading the book, you can have it offline as well.
Yep. In actual fact, if you click on the GitHub link, it takes you to the GitHub repository, and it will actually, you've got all the instructions yep. necessary for building the book and making the book available locally on your laptop.
Very cool.
So that's the book. So let's talk about debugging applications,
because
I answer a lot of questions on Stack Overflow in the Azure forums, on Twitter, and so on. And inevitably, the first thing that I ask are a couple of qualifying questions. Mm-hmm. What does the backend say in terms of logs? What does your model look like that you're trying to transfer? What does the URL say that you're actually the backend is the mobile client is using to communicate with your backend?
Yep.
And all of those are readily available, but I end up having to talk a bunch of people through that process. So this is going to be the canonical how to debug your backend.
Perfect. Right? So now you'll just be able to take the link to this video and be like, go here.
Yep, watch go this. Here. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Awesome.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to log into the portal. And we'll take a look at what I've got set up. I've got a very simple mobile backend set up, and that's a SQL database mm-hmm. running on a logical server connected to an app service with an app service plan.
Great.
So my password is incorrect. Wonderful.
Second time's a charm.
Have you noticed how your typing gets worse the more people are watching?
Absolutely.
You? So I've got a resource group here, Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you're developing, put everything in a resource group, yep. because the likelihood is you're going to have to recycle those resources, and deleting a resource group deletes all the resources yep. in it. That makes it really easy.
Absolutely yep. true.
So, and in this resource group, I've got, you can see my SQL server, my database. I've already deployed a service there. Mm-hmm. So.
And it also makes it pretty easy to reproduce that.
Absolutely, the you can export the ARM template that yeah. rebuilds it, rebuilds that resource group really easily. Mm. So this is my app service, and I'm going to scroll down practically to the bottom. So here is the monitoring section. And the first thing I asked was, what's the backend doing? Mm-hmm. Well, in order to do that, you need to turn on some diagnostics yep. and you need to look at the logs. Mm-hmm. Turning on diagnostics is relatively easy. The diagnostic logs is right there. Turn on the application logging on the file system and set the level to verbose. Mm-hmm. Normally it's just errors. I kind of want to see everything else that's going on.
Yep.
Turn on the web server logging. So this gives you the trace of the actual URLs that are coming in and okay. what the response was. Typical web server logs okay. that you would see. And you get a quota. So on the actual VM, there's a huge amount of storage generally, you know, in the gigabytes kind of range.
Right.
But you're kind of using that. So you don't want your diagnostic logs to be affecting that service.
Makes sense.
So you can set up quotas, megabytes, and have a retention period. For diagnostics, you don't need it to be very long. You're going to use them, and then they're off. So,
great.
So set up a reasonable quota and a reasonable retention. And then you want the detailed error messages and the failed request tracing. So that's those are the FREB logs.
Okay.
Click on save, and you've got your service is going to get recycled mm-hmm. at that point so that you can enable the logging.
Okay.
Now you can view the log stream right in the right in the portal here.
Yep.
So for .NET, the application logging, it'll basically come from trace events from the app
yep.
itself?
Anything that you output to the console is yep. captured and emitted into the application
okay.
log.
And then does mobile apps, the SDKs, just write to it?
Absolutely, that writes to it as well. So now I'm connected to the log streaming service. I want to do a request. Mm-hmm. Now I try when I'm debugging the back end, I try to take the mobile app out of it.
Okay.
It's just too many moving parts. You want to simplify your life and have as few moving parts as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So my tool of choice is Postman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Getpostman.com, awesome thing. Fiddler is also good.
Yep.
Bit more complicated to use. Postman is relatively easy.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of that tool.
So I'm going to start up Postman, and we're going to do a request for all the items, and we'll see what the log produces.
Great.
So my website is zumo-cloudcover.azurewebsites.net.
Perfect.
And I've got a to-do item table, which is the standard. We've got this quick start that does the to-do
yep.
list that everyone loves. There's so many copies of that out there.
Yep.
So this is the table that backs that. Now, you can't just submit that because you've got to have this header. Mm-hmm. Zumo API version.
Right.
Set to 2.0.0, and that will allow you to send it. If you don't, you get this error message saying you haven't set the Zumo API version to 2.0.0.
So that's it actually right. so
tells you what you need to do. And that's how we distinguish between a client that's using the old Azure Mobile Services
okay.
and a client that's using the Azure Mobile Apps. The wire protocol in those two cases is actually different.
Gotcha.
So you can't use one without the other. With the other, so this is how we distinguish it.
Makes sense.
So there's our data. Now I flip back, and it's going to produce. Oh, I'm on the wrong one. Web server logs. That's
nice.
What we wanted.
Okay.
Let's try this again. Let's just make sure. Yep, I'm connected. So.
How does the auth happen there? Or is this endpoint that you're calling is still open?
It's still open.
Okay.
So there it goes.
Yeah.
So there you've got the to-do item. And you can see right here, there is the get/table/to-do item.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the actual URL that I put.
Okay.
Now, when you are doing a mobile app, it will have question mark dollar filter equals some big long string and and so on. So that is the information that we need, is that URL. Mm. This will also be in the application logs. There'll be messages here as well that say things like, here was the authentication that happened, and if there was an exception, this is where the exception is displayed.
Right.
So my service is working wonderfully at the moment.
But, well done.
Well done, yep. But sometimes there is an exception. Mm-hmm. So the question is how do you get to that information? We've got some pieces there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to switch back to my Visual Studio instance. This is Visual Studio 2017. Mm-hmm. And I've got the Server Explorer on the left-hand side, mm-hmm. and I've got my Solution Explorer with my back-end code on the right-hand side.
Okay.
And this is the very basic things are, first of all, when you publish, if you are going to do any debugging, and let me just put that down there, you're going to have to change the configuration. Now, I've got a release configuration, which means all the debugging symbols are stripped out. Mm-hmm. I kind of need those.
Yes.
So I'm going to click on Settings and go to the settings, and you see the configuration here, Release. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change it to Debug any CPU. So same thing, just right. switched over. Click on Save. Okay, so now I've got the debug configuration set up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to publish that. And it's going to go through the normal publish and then bring up my app service has been created. So now I'm all ready for debugging. Mm-hmm. What I need to do is I need to go over to the Server Explorer, expand out my app service, and it will all refresh automatically. Mm-hmm. And then there's my cloud cover, and then there's my Zumo cloud cover. Now, here is the, just right click on the app service that you want to debug and attach a debugger. And it's going to enable the remote debugging for you. So mm-hmm. there's actually a setting in your app settings mm-hmm. that says remote debugging is enabled. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing. It allows you to attach a debugger remotely.
And in order to have done that, first, of course, you've authenticated against your Azure subscription inside of Visual Studio. So that's
correct.
Why you have permission to see all that.
Absolutely. This system is pretty good. If you're not authenticated, it will prompt you for the credentials and so on.
And so, the logs that we were seeing before, you can also download them later on as well. If you didn't have the streaming logs going on, and you want to go back to exceptions that you had logs for.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a new window here. So you see this Zumo cloudcover.azurewebsites.net. If you are authenticated to the portal, you can just add .scm in front of the .azurewebsites.net, yep. and that will take you to what we call Kudu. Mm-hmm. If you're on the Azure portal, it's called Advanced Tools.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm not authorized.
Oh, you weren't? Yeah.
That's because I'm over here.
Yeah.
So let me just go to Zumo cloudcover.scm.azurewebsites.net. Which is my website, because I'm already authenticated to the Azure portal. So mm-hmm. there's your two things, not authenticated, authenticated.
Yeah.
Awesome. And here you've got a debug console, you've got a process explorer, you can actually get all of the environments. The thing that we want in order to download those files is one of the debug consoles. I prefer PowerShell, personally.
Yep.
Not going to gripe on anyone that's a command prompt person. But right here at the start, there is the log files. Now, the site directory is where your the code that's running is.
Right.
is. Mm-hmm. So you can see that. And you can see the application logs, the detailed errors. I hope I don't have any. I do. And I can actually click on edit, and it will actually give me that right in the screen. So you get You know, when you go to a page and it gives you that HTML page saying an error has occurred, blah, 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 that's this page, so you can get the detailed information for it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, and you can obviously download these. There's download of individual ones. Mm-hmm. If you go up to the directory, you can download here as well, and
the
it will zip up the whole directory and download that for you. There's also logs that are not available in the portal here. So the eventlog.xml, for example, which is your standard Windows event log, that is available here.
Great.
So let's switch back to the published site. And I've got the backend published now. And I've got my backend here. And I'm going to go into my table controller. And I'm going to set a breakpoint on my get all to do items. Mm-hmm. Now that is the slash table slash to do item endpoint for a get. Mm-hmm. And if I send that, it's actually hit my endpoint, and I can now explore all that information. So here is my this, and it will have my request and my controller context and so on. Mm. So now I can start being very, very prescriptive about, I'm not just the usual thing that I see a lot of times in the cloud is people going the old print string write line capabilities because they don't think they can get the logs, but they don't think that they can attach a debugger whilst it's in the cloud. You can absolutely attach a debugger whilst it's in the cloud.
So now, let's say the site was a production site that was in use, or a production backend that was in use. I would assume you might not want to do this because then anybody that hits that endpoint is going to trigger that breakpoint. So what would you suggest doing in that case?
I would clone the app with all the data, take the problematic, it's usually a 500 request. Mm-hmm. The 500 is internal server area, that error. That 500 just means the server's crashed for whatever reason. Yeah. So take that request that's generating the 500, put it onto a same production database, but linked to a second copy of your app, and then submit that same URL with that same authentication token to the backend, and it will it should crash at that point, and you can actually explore it.
Great.
If it doesn't crash, you need to, you know, it's a major debugging exercise to figure out what's going on. And at that point, you might be doing a write line, particularly if you've got a couple of hundred thousand, or in some cases, millions of users hitting the service.
Definitely.
So now, how do you know when, this brings up another good point, is how do you know when your service is having problems? Mm. You might get the odd occasional request, but if your app is in the App Store, and you've got tens of thousands of users, they might not tell you that they're crashing.
Well, they'll tell you with a one-star review.
Yeah,
right?
they'll give you the one-star review. So there's a couple of things. You've got to be able to handle the back end, and you've got to be able to handle the front end. Mm-hmm. Now, the front end, you can sign up for Mobile Center, Visual Studio Mobile Center. You've got crashes and analytics SDKs. You wrap your app around that crash analytics, and you go to Mobile Center and you analyze the crashes on the front end. Mm-hmm. The back end, we've got things like live HTTP traffic. And this actually allows you to literally watch live traffic coming in so that you can see when specific responses happen.
Mm, okay.
So you can see this is all the traffic that we were doing a couple of minutes ago. And you've got, here are the 500s. That's the number that you want to watch.
Okay.
500s are your server has crashed.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones to investigate. This should always be zero.
Mm-hmm.
400s, you'll see a lot of people, particularly when your service gets out there, trying to hit random endpoints to see whether you are susceptible to certain security flaws.
Yeah, yep.
So those will be 404s.
Mm-hmm.
The 400s is a bad request. That basically means you're submitting a model to the back end, and the model is not the same that they're expecting, the back end is expecting. So you've got a mismatch there. It's usually, you know, I go and look at the models. That's why I ask for the models.
Mm-hmm.
I need both the back end and the front end and deal with that. 401 is authentication. You will get that.
Yep.
Because the first time the service hits the endpoint, it will produce a 401. Mm-hmm. That gets handled by your mobile app that says pops up the authentication screens.
Right.
So, and then 404 is that endpoint is not found.
Yep.
That's usually someone.
That's a pretty popular one.
Yeah, playing the security game. So this is a really good way of seeing a point in time, a real live traffic analysis.
And I guess you could set up alerts to, you know, if you have a number of 500s to tell you, and then you can come in here and investigate what's happening.
Absolutely, and Application Insights is a great one there. You can wrap the service and when an exception, you know, take all of your table controllers, wrap them in try catch messages. When you catch, emit an Application Insight and then throw the exception again, mm-hmm. so that it gets bubbled up, and then all the exceptions are in your Application Insights, mm-hmm. and you can see, you can capture a lot of the state of the request at that point.
Okay.
So that's debugging remotely. What happens if you want to debug locally? Mm-hmm. So that's the next thing, and people like, I mean, debugging remotely is nice, but you're going across the network, and that means it's slow.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're going to have to deal with symbol source. You're going to have to deal with the packets going back and forth. It's definitely slow.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to fix that, I'm going to go and view my Server Explorer again, and I'm back in the Cloud Cover, and I'm going to go to View Settings. And down at the bottom of the view settings is your connection string. Okay, this is the connection string for the server, the SQL Azure instance in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go and Control C there, go into my Solution Explorer, and go to my web.config. And in here, there is a connection string.
Mm-hmm.
Which is this guy. I'm going to stop that. It was running because we were connected to the remote debugging session.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm going to get rid of this big, long, complicated connection string, and I'm going to put in the one that I saved out. So.
Okay.
So there's my web.config. Now, this isn't the only thing you have to do. You also have to open up the firewall for the SQL Azure so that your client IP can communicate with that SQL Azure instance.
Right.
So the way you do that is, let's just go back to my original resource group, and I'm going to go to the server, the SQL server.
Mm-hmm.
And right there at the top is firewall. And there's a button for add my client IP.
Mm-hmm.
So you add the client IP and you save. It updates. And now you can actually run this back end. So I'm just going to hit the run button. And I'm going to copy that URL, go back to my Postman and do exactly the same thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And click on send. And then it hits my breakpoint that we set earlier for the remote debugging.
Mm-hmm.
Same code, same breakpoint.
Looks like maybe the change didn't take effect.
Yeah,
on
the change
SQL
didn't effect.
Server,
May take up to 5 minutes for this change to take effect. So this is what this now tells me we've got a firewall problem. I can deal with that.
But the debugging is working.
The debugging is working. Yeah. It hit the breakpoint when we hit the server, and it was just the SQL database. So this allows you to now notice that the startup of that service was much, much faster than the remote debugging version.
Yes.
As you debug, obviously, getting that tightness of, I make a change, I run the server,
mm-hmm.
I get the results, I'm making another change.
Yeah.
Getting that circle of dealing with that is really important, to get that tight.
Mm-hmm.
The tighter you can get it, the more changes you can make, the better your production is.
Yep.
And even if you're, as a developer, you could do everything locally with a local database first, and then have it on Azure SQL database with your starting up.
Yep.
Data and connect from locally to that one to make sure everything works, and then
yep, absolutely. I mean, the the alternative, a lot of people do continuous integration where they're checking into a source code repository that we support, a VSTS, a GitHub, something like that. And then when they check into that GitHub repository, it automatically deploys to the cloud and builds it there. That means that you're checking your work, you're fixing a bug. You haven't fixed the bug. You're checking in the work to in order to get it deployed. It doesn't really work. So doing this local development really helps. Mm-hmm. However, there is an issue, and that is authentication.
Yes.
So I like using Postman for this, but you need to get that authentication token. Mm-hmm. Now, in your app, you're going to be calling .login async or whatever to get the authentication. So the nice thing is Azure App Service has a really, really easy way of configuring the authentication. Every single Azure subscription has an Azure AD associated with it. Mm-hmm. It's default. It's based on your login ID for the thing. So it's, in my case, it's photoadrian_outlook_.onmicrosoft.net, something like that. Mm-hmm. So what I can do is I can go down to authentication and authorization in my app service. And I'm going to turn this on. Now, make sure that the action to take when the request is not authenticated is allow access, because that allows you to control the access at the in your code mm-hmm. rather than controlling it at the server.
Makes sense. So if there's some stuff you don't want to require authentication, some stuff you do, that's where you want to use
that. That's where you want. The other thing is that if you want the claims, so when you log in, you're obviously logging in with your username and password, mm-hmm. Whatever that is. That the authentication provider is going to give the service a whole bunch of claims, things like your real name, mm-hmm. Things like your email address, mm-hmm. which your service might want to use.
Right.
Yeah. So if we're doing that task list, I don't want to see your tasks. You don't want to see my tasks.
Exactly right.
So we store some kind of user ID mm-hmm. In the database for that. Well, we need to read that user ID. That's in the claims from the authentication provider. Okay, so how do we read those claims? Well, they get passed in to us by the app service, mm-hmm. but only if you're passing the authentication through to us. So if you're actually handling authentication, I could just as easily go log in with Azure Active Directory here, mm-hmm. and every single request will produce a web form that allows me to fill in my username and password, but the claims will not be passed through.
Oh, I see.
So if you're getting problems with the claims, look here. So Azure Active Directory, there is an Express edition, which is wonderful.
Sounds very fast.
It's very fast. I click on Express. I click on OK. Authentication setup.
It's pretty good.
That's two clicks. OK for you?
I think that'll work.
Yep. And then click on Save here to save it.
Three clicks.
Three clicks. I know. It's that extra click. It's too much. Too much. So how do we actually deal with the authentication, because we need to get that token. Mm-hmm. Well, you go to, not the SCM endpoint, you go to HTTPS, Sumo Cloud Covered Azure Websites, there is an endpoint called /.auth/login, and then your provider, mm-hmm. which is the same string that you put in the login async. So AAD is Azure Active Directory, mm-hmm. Facebook, Google, Microsoft account, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. And you can go to AAD. And it's going to take you through the workflow. Mm-hmm. So I've successfully logged in. Now you notice here, that's because I'm already logged in with my MSA because I'm logged into the Azure portal. Mm-hmm. So in the done, there is the token. And in there is the Azure Authentication token. It will always start with EY. Don't know why. It's part of the encoding. And it's very, very long.
Yes. Yep. Really caught that one.
Totally caught that one. So you want to copy that. And then you add it into your Postman. X-Zumo-Auth is the value of of that value, of that token. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to my HTTPS Zoomo Cloud Cover Azure Websites.net, and it should work just fine. But that is how you submit a token. Again, we're dealing with authentication, and we're going to be we're getting the results back. So we're actually getting the authentication token submitted and authenticated, and your authorize will work now.
Right.
So this is how you debug authentication manually. The question is, though, how do you run a local server and run your mobile app to point to the local server? And the answer there, and I'm not going to run it because it's you've got to actually run two things at the same time. This is my Xamarin Forms application. It's a fairly standard application. And in my services, I have an Azure Cloud Service. There we go, which has my, this would actually be zoomo-cloudcover.azurewebsites.net, yeah? Except, I'm going to control C that. It's not, it's HTTP localhost colon 33110, something like that. There is another line here, which says client.alternate login URI equals new URI, the URI of that. Now, what this says for the client is I'm connecting for all the data to localhost, but when I authenticate, when I do that login async, I'm going up to the Zoomo Cloud Cover.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is very handy.
Yeah. So that's the redirection. Now, obviously, you don't want that. I actually usually put a little checkbox saying I'm running locally, and it will change it over to for me to implement the alternate login URI. That isn't the only step, though, because in your web.config, there are some signing keys and things like that. Now, these are provided by App Service. But you want to authenticate that token that's being fed in. You want to make sure that it's being signed.
Yep.
So that is the MS signing key. And what we need to do is we need to go back to our... Thank you. HTTPS, Zoomo Cloud Cover, our website.scm. So we're going to the Kudu endpoint. And we're going to go into environment. And under the environment variables, there is a website auth signing key. So here are all the things. This is the value that you need right here, website auth signing key. I'm going to copy that. And I'm going to go into my web.config. Now notice it's overridden by the portal settings. So I can just paste that in. And now, again, my connection string is set up for local development. Now my authentication is set up for authentication, for local development. There is also valid audiences and valid issuers. So if you've got the standard quick start backend, which is available on in GitHub, it's available on the quick start download blade for the portal, then it's going to have a piece of valid audiences and valid issuers. So I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to copy my token again, and I'm going to go to a new website called jwt.io. Now, our tokens are JSON web tokens, JWTs, or JOTs, and jwt.io is an excellent website because it allows you to debug your token. And you can see that the issuer and the audience is based on the URL of your website. So it's not localhost.
Right.
It's something else. So what you have to do is you also have to add app settings in exactly the same way that we did the MS signing URL, add a valid audience and a valid issuer in there.
Okay.
And all that is covered in the book.
Oh, perfect.
So
we'll make sure we have a link specifically to that section below.
Yeah, absolutely. It's chapter two, all about the JOT and debugging.
Perfect.
So there you go. That's, we've done we've covered a lot of ground
we
here.
We did, yes. Remote
debugging, local debugging, handling authentication, getting tokens without introducing the mobile app. So there's a great set of things.
I think there's one more thing you should talk about briefly, and that's running Azure mobile apps, the back end, on Functions, because I think that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, when we're doing so Functions, let's step back. Functions is a serverless technology. Mm-hmm. Now, with most of the technologies that are on Azure today, fundamentally what you are buying is a VM. Mm-hmm. So Azure App Service, we're abstracting the VM away from you. You've got an app service plan, but when you look at the app service plan, it says, okay, I'm doing 4 cores and 3 gigabytes of memory and whatever. Well, that's a VM. That's the VM settings underneath. Mm-hmm. Functions uses the spare compute power that's left over after all the VMs are running.
Okay.
And instead of paying for the VM all the time, you're paying for the API calls.
Right.
And you get a free allotment of the API calls in there. So, and it's actually a large free allotment. That means that when you've set up an Azure mobile app, you're always paying for it because that Azure mobile app always exists.
Right.
When you set up Functions, you only pay for it when you're using it, mm-hmm. When the API calls are coming in. The rest of the time, it's shut down.
Yep.
That does have some implications. It's shut down. So after about 5 minutes, we shut down the service and you need a cold start.
Yeah, so there's no always on.
There's no always on. It's if you are the first person hitting it after 5 minutes of being away from it, you are going to get that cold start time up.
Yep.
So I wrote a set of blog posts. Mm-hmm. I also have the code that I generated. And what I did was I took apart the Node SDK and said, okay, what are we actually doing here? Mm. So what we do is we implemented a CRUD HTTP API on a function. Mm-hmm. So when you call into the same URLs that are dealing with the Azure mobile app, so the slash table, slash to-do item, we trap that in the function, and we run some code underneath that does exactly the same thing.
Okay.
On top of that, I said, why not just do everything new?
Sure.
So I hooked it up to DocumentDB because everyone is asking me for NoSQL support.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So DocumentDB is Azure's NoSQL solution. Mm-hmm. Functions is the serverless piece. And it's a complete HTTP pipeline. So you don't get the startup cost that you would with a SQL Azure connection. So what the code does is it gives you that tables to do item with a document DB backend with a collection within that document DB that stores your data, and you'll see all the bits that that go along with that. It does offline sync, it does incremental sync, conflict resolution, get all the items, post, patch.
That's pretty much everything.
So
you'd still use the SDKs.
You still use the mobile apps SDKs to access it. But you're not paying for the stuff that you don't use.
Great.
Cool.
So now, does this mean could you take some of this back to the normal Azure mobile app backend and use that to access DocumentDB?
There's a good chance that the driver that I wrote for DocumentDB has all the facilities to write a data provider, which is what the Node SDK. So the ASP.NET SDK has a concept of a domain manager, mm-hmm. which is it's a .NET interface that you have to implement in order to access an alternate data source. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, there's a problem there because part of that driver is how do I turn a link query, because we love link, but link queries can get very, very long and very, very complex. How do I turn that into something my domain manager understands.
Right.
So we've written the one for Entity Framework because it's already built on top of Link, which is great. However, people normally have run into that problem of how do I actually convert what is in Link into a DocumentDB SQL statement, for example, or a Azure Storage OData query. Mm-hmm. So we have that problem. That's probably writing your own data source. That is the biggest issue that you have, mm-hmm. is how to do that. So I've done the work for DocumentDB on the Node side, mm-hmm. with the data provider. So the data provider in Node is the equivalent to the domain manager in ASP.NET.
Okay.
So it's a library that you include, and it does exactly the same thing. The good news is that we've actually got a library within the Node environment called Query.js that turns link-like, because there's no link in Node land,
right,
in JavaScript land, except Query.js is pretty much the same thing. It's got the same concepts.
Okay.
So you can do complex queries, for example, by adding on, chaining on commands.
Okay.
So we can take that and we can turn it into whatever we need to.
Cool.
It's all code. It's all written.
Oh, very
all distributed as source.
Awesome. Well, thank you for talking through that with us, and thank you so much for coming on and showing us all the cool stuff you can do as far as debugging goes and getting that all set up. It's great. And I think, I mean, the debugging stuff is great. I think that's cool, and a lot of people should take a look at that and understand it.
Yep.
I think that all the knowledge in the book is also a good takeaway, because that covers so much more than just the debugging stuff.
I would probably say 90% of the questions I answer these days are pointing people to the book.
Yeah.
I hate to say read the fine manual, but the book is the fine manual at this point.
Very good.
Yeah, one area that helped me a lot was the offline syncing section.
Yep.
Yep.
There's a lot of conceptual work that's involved in offline sync, so great that it could help.
Yeah,
cool. Well, do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to us?
I do have a Twitter.
You have to wave your hands to say when you say it.
Fizzy in the hall.
Perfect. We'll make sure it's in there so people can follow you and ask you more questions that you can solve by saying, read the fine manual.
Read the fine manual.
Excellent. Great. Well, Adrian, thank you again for coming on and talking to us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Adrian.
Everybody out there, make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.